Good evening. Certainly good to have each and every one of you back tonight. It's good to come together and worship the Lord. We're going to be in James chapter 5, the first 11 verses tonight. The title of the lesson is Setting Things Right. And we're talking about evildoers and suffering. And we're talking about four things that you need to do when you find yourself in that situation. In the first six verses, misery is coming upon you evildoers. James is like an Old Testament prophet here. And you evildoers, misery is coming. Verse 1 through 3, they're abusing the people at the wrong time. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. So the rich people, they're doing something wrong. And they need to weep and howl because it's coming back to haunt them. Verse 2, your riches have rotted, and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver rusted, and their rust will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you've stored up your treasure. Now, there are times to do wrong, and there are worse times to do wrong. This is the last days, and it's referred to Israel. And to be caught doing evil when judgment's coming, it's sort of like the mama's mad and then you go out and do something or you smart off. That was the wrong time. And these people have gathered up a lot of gold and a lot of silver, and he's saying it's just, you've got so much, it's collected, and it's turning colors, and your fancy garments, your moths are eating them. You're not getting ahead on this thing. And you've done it in the last days. And so you need to weep and howl. You're not escaping that. Verse 4 through 6 is the horror of what they're doing. And they're doing it to the righteous. Now, if you're going to cheat somebody, that's wrong. But to cheat the righteous, that's worse. Verse 4. Behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields, and which has been withheld by you, cries out against you, and the outcry of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. You got laborers in the field doing that hard, sweaty work. And they're mowing the fields and they're harvesting it. And he's not paying them. I mean, one of the worst things in the Old Testament is if you loan money to a poor person, you take his guarantee or surety, his outer garment. Oh, he'll be back. He'll do the job. He'll be back with the money because what? He's going to need that when he's sleeping on the ground tonight. And you better give it back to him today, whether he pays you or not. Well, you're going to cheat the poor people, the laborers? You know what they're going to do? I mean, they're having enough trouble making it anyway from day to day. And then they start crying out for help from the Lord, and he hears it. Well, in the days of Noah, you know, the cries went up, and God came down to see if that was really right, and it was, and then here comes the flood. You know, back in the 50s, you remember the company stores? I mean, you work in some of them towns in Texas? Yeah, and you go buy things at the store at an exorbitant price. time to get paid, you owe them more than you made that week. And you're trapped, you know. Well, we're talking about Christians cheating other Christians here. And these people are so rich, they don't need the money. And they're doing worse than that, verse 5 and 6. You've lived luxuriously on the earth and led a life of wanton pleasure. You've fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You've condemned to put to death a righteous man. He does not resist you. There's no reason to be put to death a righteous man. Slaves had no right in the first century. You want to kill them and throw them in a ditch, you could do it. Nobody's going to say anything about it except the Lord of heaven and earth. And the people weren't doing wrong. They're just trying to make a living. And no wonder he's hollering, you need to weep and howl. Your misery's coming on you for this stuff. Well, verses 7 through 11, the Lord is coming. And there's four things that you need to do when suffering. Whether it's suffering at the hands of a bad boss who's abusive, or co-workers, or, you know, if you're suffering physically through illness, there's four things you need to do. If you're not a believer, it doesn't matter what you do. But if you're a Christian, you're doing right, you still have the Lord on your side. And there's a lot of good reasons to do these things. Verse 7, number 1, be patient. Hang on. The Lord's going to take care of it. If you're right and somebody's abusing you, give it some time. Be patient. Therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. And we're always thinking the coming of the Lord is talking about the second coming. We'll go off here at the end about that. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early, late, and late rains. I've always worked mostly in farming communities, and I'm a city boy, and it's from cotton to corn and everything else. And I thought out in West Texas, you know, it's dry as it can be and dust storms. And I'm thinking, the farmer has to be the person trusting the Lord more than anybody else in the world. Because once he plants that, what? Everything's at the mercy of the weather. Whether you get enough rain, whether you get too much. I was talking to somebody down in the depot today, and they're talking about how in the bottoms, which should produce the more corn per acre, it didn't do well because it was wet. But up in the hills, it did a little better. Yeah. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. You have to wait. I mean, you're going through bad times, things that you can't control, or bad people you can't control. All you can do is wait on the Lord. If you get impatient, then you take things into your own hand, and you're probably going to get punished and abused for a lot of the damage you caused. Verse 7, be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early, late rains. At the right time, there's seasons, there's times, you're planting, times of harvesting. Just wait on the Lord. Verse 8, you too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. I mean, there's hope for Christians. No matter how much suffering you're going through, you're still depending on the Lord to step in and help reverse that. And in this case, the coming of the Lord's at hand. I mean, you need to talk to yourself and say, hey, hang on, don't do anything rash. Just trust in the Lord. And sometimes that's all you can do. But that's what you need to do. Is be patient. Strengthen your hearts. We're going to depend on the Lord here. Verse 9. Do not complain, brother, against one another, that you yourselves may not be judged. If the Lord's coming, He's coming against evildoers. He's going to set things right. And you're a member of the church, but you're a complaining member of the church. You don't want to be caught on that side. I mean, you're a Christian. You've been saved. You have forgiveness of sins. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Jesus knows who you are. He's coming back for you. And you can't find a reason to be thankful for. All you can think about is what someone's doing to you or done to you. And you start complaining. And you start discouraging other people during these difficult times. That's evil. That is not good. And that's not helpful. That's not loving. Kind, considerate, whatever. Watch out. When things go bad and you're hurting, it's the easiest thing to do is to complain. It hurts so bad, you know, you want to blame something or somebody, you'll feel a little better. No, you don't. And the other person doesn't either. So be patient, strengthen your hearts, don't complain. Verses 10 and 11, blessings await those who endure. You've got to endure life sometimes. Verse 10. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. I mean, this is Jewish Christians. And if anybody suffered, Jeremiah suffered 40 years, nobody responded. He's thrown in a well and left to die, and by the grace of some people feeding him, he stays down in the mud for a while. Yeah, but there's a constant attack on the preacher of righteousness. They suffered, but they patiently waited on the Lord to help take care of it. And so they were an example of suffering righteously. Verse 11, behold, we count those blessed who endured. You've heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. Then you got the example of Job, who doesn't know why he's suffering. He hasn't done anything wrong. It's just a battle between the devil and the Lord, and the Lord believes in his servant Job. And so he lets the devil tempt, tempting, trying, testing. And he loses everything when in the end he ends up doubly blessed. He did it. He suffered patiently. He waited on the Lord, not knowing why he was going through this. And it worked out well. And so lots of times people are evil and we're caught on the other end of that. And lots of times it's a little lower level. But still, sometimes we're suffering greatly for a lot of reasons. And we don't want to be impatient. We don't want to be complainers. We need to strengthen our hearts and say there's hope. And whatever the Lord's will is, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thy will be done. That was one of those moments. And he's trusting in the Lord wherever this goes. Well, that gives you strength and power now. Lots of times, go to Mark chapter 13. Lots of times, we're not sure the Lord's going to help. That the Lord comes in society during lifetimes of people to make corrections. And he don't have to do it in a big flare. But Mark 13 is Jesus teaching on the destruction of Jerusalem 40 years in the future. But I want to illustrate some of the words we've already seen are going to pop up in this discussion of 40 years from now, here's what you do when this happens. And I want to start in the middle, Mark 13, verse 24 through 26. It seems like it's the second coming. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be fallen from heaven, and the powers that are in heaven will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Well, it sure seems like that's the second coming, you know. But then if I've read Joel, I've read Revelation, I probably know that's not true, you know. So that seems like that in the middle. But we're always talking about the day of the Lord. We're always talking a local judgment in this language. You go to verse 13 and talking to the disciples, and you'll be hated by all on account of my name, but the one who endures to the end shall be saved. So somebody has to endure through during this difficulty. We're not talking second coming. We're talking about being faithful through sufferings by Peter, James, and John and them. Verse 14. But when you see the abomination of desolation standing where it should not be, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. This is not the second coming. If you're being told to run to the mountains, I mean, Matthew talks about when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of in Daniel, a prophet, you need to run to the mountains. If you read Luke 21:20, written to Gentiles, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by the armies, you need to flee to the mountains. We're not talking second coming. We're talking about the Lord making corrections here on earth. And that's what James is talking about. You're not paying these fellows. You're putting them to death. And you're doing it about the time the Lord's going to make an adjustment? Oh, you need to wail. Verse 15, and let him who's on the housetop not go down or enter in or get anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not turn back to get his cloak. I mean, you need to get out of here. So we're not talking about second coming. Verse 17, but woe to those who are with child and to those who nurse babes in those days. I don't think it's going to make any difference second coming, whether you're pregnant or not, or whether you got children. Verse 18, but pray that it may not happen in the winter. 19, for those days will be a time of tribulation such as has not occurred since the beginning of the creation, which God created unto now and never shall. And unless the Lord had shortened those days, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect whom he chose, he shortened the days. If God let that run its course, there would be none of the faithful left. And so giving preference to the faithful, we shorten the time of this suffering. So the Lord's in control. He knows who his people are. And he makes adjustments in this world all the time. Well, you come on down to verse 28 after the language of the second coming. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and put forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. When you look at the fig tree, and anybody can tell, summer's here. I mean, you know that. He's talking about, you people will know Just look and think. And we're going to go into our Revelation class at the end. I'm going to give you things to look for where you know what's happened today. This will be easy. Verse 29. Even so, you too, when you see these things happening, recognizing that He is near right at the door. Same message to James. He's here and we're making a just... And we're talking about the destruction of Jerusalem only here. And James is moving into that period. Verse 30. Why? It has nothing to do with the future. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Yeah, you read Matthew 24, and boy, I can tell you, it looks like second coming until you get to verse 36. It's going to happen in their lifetime. It's something to do with local judgments. And it sounds like 31, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven or the Son, but the Father alone. You know how people always predict in the end of time? Well, you know not to listen to them. Jesus doesn't even know. The Son doesn't know. Angels don't know. Verse 33, take heed. Keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time is. Yeah. Christianity is about being faithful. It's about doing what's right. And when you come under abuse and suffering, things that weigh on your soul, you still have the Lord. And when you pray, you're asking the Lord to make a correction. That's what you're doing. He might not come on a big scale, but if He comes on a little scale and that's the problem you need solved to remove your suffering, what? Oh, you can pray. You know, the boss is abusive and all that, and you can pray to the Lord, and 3 months later, 6 months later, He's not there. Well, hallelujah. Don't matter how it happened, what? It worked out. We need to learn to depend on the Lord. These people in James' day are suffering horribly. They're not even getting paid. And you know what that means? Somebody like, boss, don't pay you for 6 months. You don't talk about your budget and you're squeezing it and you're getting down to basics. You're getting down to just feeding yourself. And what are you going to do? There's no prospects for jobs. You trust in the Lord. You be patient. You strengthen your heart. You wait on the Lord. Things are going to get better. You need to be patient and endure. And you know what? Things work out for the righteous. Things work out for... Life is not without suffering. How you handle it is important. Who you trust in to solve it is important. And death is not the end. Death's only the beginning for Christians. I mean, you get to rest from your labors. You get to be home with the Lord. Paul said that was very much better in Philippians 1. Oh, it's gain. And so Christians have a lot of things to help them during difficult times. To understand there's somebody who overrules all of this, and He does it in lifetimes. And then there's the big destruction things and corrections on nation scales and all of that. But you and me, we have a God that's righteous. He's full of compassion. He's full of mercy. He hears the cries of the people being abused. And if you're a righteous person, His ears are attuned to you. You know, he has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. I mean, what does that mean? That means that you possess righteousness. You found forgiveness of your sins. It means you and the Lord are one, and God recognized you because of your faith in Jesus. You're not an unbeliever. I mean, he that disbelieves condemned. I mean, he who disbelieves stays where they're at. And they cry and they wail, but they find no answers. You and I ought to be expectant people that when we cry out to the Lord in distress, that we're heard. And then we need to wait on the Lord's timetable. If you need to respond anyway, won't you come as we stand and sing?